Hi, my friend, Callie Wilson here. I'm glad that you're joining me today. I have something really special in store for you. Once a year, I do something called the Holistic Parenting Summit. We gather 20 plus experts in the field of psychology, parenting, holistic health, and we talk about how families can be strengthened using multiple modalities and multiple insights and skills and support, really. And so we thought it could be fun for this podcast to actually highlight some of our favorite interviews. So you will be in for a treat today with the amazing Laura Jacobs.
You're listening to the Essential Oil Coach Podcast.
My friend, Callie Wilson here. I'm a certified holistic health coach and essential oil business mentor. And this is a podcast about making better choices, living a better life, and building an amazing business. If you are really ready to supercharge your health, revamp your home, and take your coaching practice and your essential oil business to the next level, then you're in the right place. Stay right here because we're going to play. Okay, we are live, and we are live with Laura Jacobs. For those of you who don't know Laura Jacobs, you are in for such a treat. Laura Jacobs, I'm just going to read the bio, and then I'm going to tell you about who she really is to me. But she's a wife, mother of five, grandmother of five, decades of experience as a holistic health life coach, wellness advocate, educator, international speaker. She has spoken on some of the biggest stages, and oh, such a treat. It's like you're just downloading the entire time. Mentor, author, lifelong learner, formerly was a previous owner of a wellness center, which I actually frequented back in the day. And your global mission is to put a healer in every home, which has now influenced tens of thousands, if not more, people all throughout the world. And when it comes to parenting, you know, you're showing up today because you really want to empower parents to lead with their intuition, to ask deeper questions and learn to listen in new ways, to move beyond reactions and lead with true holistic parenting, and to do so with tools. So it's not just about managing children, but raising great children. And I found myself in a position in a life, kind of one of those moments where you're like, what direction should I take in my life? And someone told me about you, and then I met you, and you said, Callie, I think the holistic health certification program that I'm doing in 3 weeks is going to be a really good fit for you. I had no idea what I was signing up for, Laura. It's like, okay, I'm there. Like, my heart's saying I need to be there. And you just blew me away. You gave me profound insights to coach people better, and to live better and to parent better. And I'm so excited to expose you to more people because you'll blow our minds and what really is possible when we learn the art of truly, truly listening. So we're going to get into this. And I first want to ask you, thanks for being here, Laura.
Thanks for having me. It's a delight to be in your presence, Callie. You know, I'm one of your biggest fans. I think you're one of the most gracious, brilliant, beautiful souls on the planet. So just so happy to be here together.
Thank you. You have likewise. What is holistic parenting to you? Because I think when we say holistic, people are, they immediately go to veganism and they go to vaccination. Like, what is the truest sense of the word holistic parenting?
You know, when you think of holistic, right, then like you said, your first thought goes to natural or alternative or things of that nature. But I think of holistic as 3D. Round, not linear. And I think so often we're trained to think in a linear way. We were parented in a more linear way. And to think holistically is to think in 3D. That I have before me situations and people that have facets to them. And you can't just think only singularly if you truly want to experience a holistic life.
I love that. And as a parent, it's empowering. Really, when you start to get out of that linear thinking into more
totally
thinking. So let's talk about that. So tell me more about the art of listening and maybe the power of the pause. Because I think that is what really changed me, is teaching me to stop, because kids are reactive, people are reactive, to not buy in easily to the reaction, but to pause and listen to really what's happening, not just with your ears. Can you tell us
right.
more about that?
No, yeah, so beyond your ears. You know, pausing is one of the most gracious moves that any person can ever enact. Of course, unless there's a car coming or something, then pausing wouldn't be in your favor. And I'm not slow to act. I'm not talking about sitting around and meditating for an hour on how to deal with the two-year-old that's having a meltdown. That's not helpful. But it's the willingness to listen. And I think as someone who has literally directly helped tens of thousands of people as clientele and tens of thousands of more as students in my program, and then beyond, you know, I've had an opportunity to train a lot of people beyond, you know, that more singular sphere of influence on just, you couldn't have started the introduction better, because if people were to say, what's your purpose on the planet? You know, my purpose is to disrupt thinking. My purpose, and the type of thinking I'm trying to disrupt is naive thinking or ignorant thinking or uninformed thinking would probably be the sweetest way to explain that. And what I always hope to do is to have disrupted a thinking pattern enough that by the time we leave each other's presence, that we can't help but think differently. And not only just think, but to think and solve differently. I'm more of a solving person. I don't like to wallow in problems or pain unnecessarily. I don't like to be dramatic and hang out in resistance. And I invite the people around me to do the same. Like, let's up level. And this is an opportunity for up leveling. So in any given moment, you know, and I had the opportunity to raise 5 incredible children, and they came that way, right? My job was just not to ruin them and to help, you know, help them discover for themselves how to enhance and become their own magnificence. And, you know, in some ways that's staying out of the way of their charge. And in other ways, it's guiding it and putting up, you know, guardrails, things of that nature. And sometimes it's standing in a corner and blocking away and saying, don't go this way, you know, whatever it is. But the pause, as you mentioned it, the value in it is that split second in which you listen and what you choose to hear. So I can't tell you the number of times, Callie, I've been somewhere as a speaker, spoken on stage, and then afterwards there's the line, right? The people in line that want to come up, the individualized questions, usually about themselves. And these are people I don't know, right? These aren't my babies. I'm not raising these. And they come up and they ask a question that's very specific and sometimes very challenging. Like, it's like, I don't have a clue what the answer to that is. But I really learned that the magic is in not knowing. So my first go-to, whether I'm in a client coach situation, sitting there, you know, in line with someone who's come to ask me a question, whatever the case is, the greatest gift I can offer is to first not know. Because the not knowing creates this gap. And I really, really believe in living in what's really what I've been taught is the highest level of consciousness, which is inspiration. I believe in inspired action. So when I'm quiet and I choose to believe that I know nothing, like I know a ton, but in the moment, I actually don't necessarily know until I'm inspired. So if you can give the moment for the pause, allow the blank canvas to come. What comes into that space for me, gosh, it's the magic. And I mean, I've had that experience so many times that I can't count, where I receive an idea that maybe isn't the book idea. It's not the one, it wouldn't have been my go-to idea. If I was going to my list of possibilities, it wouldn't have been the first thing that would have come to my mind. But in my willingness to pause and to just consider a blank canvas to see what arrives on that by way of ideas, it's inspiration. It's the magic. And for me, holistic parenting, it would have to have that at its core in order to be successful.
That is perfect. And you taught me how to do that. And you're telling me this, and I'm like, I have had the exact same experience. Yeah. So I actually want to open that up just a little bit. I know a little bit about your personal life. I know that you pay the price to be able to receive that higher level of inspiration and consciousness. So can you kind of give us an invitation or give us an idea of how we, in a sense, purify our minds and our hearts so that our capacity to receive that is increased?
I love that. And there's so many answers, Callie. Obviously, personal practices, and we can all have a lot of junk and clutter that clings to us. And so the more filters of belief or perception or paradigms and things you place in front of you, then you have to see what's happening or receive and hear what's happening through a whole bunch of filters, which can really alter the purity of true inspiration. True inspiration, it comes from a point of zero. Your history comes from a point that's deviated from zero, right? So we've developed all kinds of opinions and attitudes and whatnots based on life experience. And if you allow yourself to start from any of those points, so just because what you did as a two-year-old meant this, does not mean that that's true for the two-year-old in front of you, let alone the one that's in the next generation. You know, because I'm on round two here as a grandma. And so the number one thing I believe in order to live in that way is to free yourself from attachments. And to borrow from the experts that I learned from many moons ago, the phrase is detach yourself from the outcome. So when you're describing the pause is an asking. Like literally the pause itself is an asking and it's a believing. I'm asking to receive the truth in this moment about whatever the matter is at hand. I believe that by pausing and listening that I will hear an answer. And then maybe perhaps the most crucial one is, because this is where we get into the inner and this is where the clutter gets in the way, is you hear something and the other part of you that's had all the experience is like, oh, that's a stupid idea. Why would you do that? Or that doesn't make sense. Or that's not what my mom taught me. And then the internal arguments ensue when instead, if you'll simply ask, believe, receive, because really the how is not your part. The answer is not for you to produce, the answer is for you to receive, especially when it's about someone else, right? Or I should say, especially when it's about you. I mean, that's just as true. I mean, we're caring for ourselves like we are everyone else. But for me, that's the pattern, is the discipline. I see so many people get in their own way because they are attached to outcomes. And a lot of times we're just trying to be right or mount more evidence towards a belief that we hold. And so, Kelly, you know this, in my classroom, metaphorically or literally, in my classroom, I ask my students, young and old alike, what do you think is the most important or most influential aspect of anyone's life? The most influential. And I get lots of great answers. But really what it comes down to is whatever you believe to be true. It influences you more than anything else. And I could get into body chemistry, I could get into all kinds of things, but what we believe to be true. So what I believe to be true about being a parent or a grandma or a friend or a neighbor or a community member or a world, you know, resident, is that if I ask and believe, I can receive through inspiration answers to just about anything that are applicable to my part in whatever it is. I'm not planning on receiving other people's parts, but I am planning on receiving my part, whatever that is. So if you were to ask me what my core value is, it's to be true to whatever I feel called to do. And the only way you can feel called to do it is if you hear it and receive it. And so for me, it's really liberated me from so many attachments and set me free from beliefs from my past, because I'm just standing at zero, at neutral, at blank. And in that space, so many things come.
And I almost feel like when you do that, you draw on your power, right? You kind of release the regret of what has happened because you can't change it anyway. And you kind of release your attachment to the future and how things are supposed to show up for you. And you just kind of reclaim your power, regroup. And it's a powerful feeling. I was skeptical, Laura, I'm not going to lie. you challenged us to go home and you gave us some other tools. We're going to talk about those. And I was doubting. I was like, it's good. Everyone else is intuitive, but not me, right? But right. I'm thinking like we're all born with this mother's intuition or father's intuition, totally. Right? We're born with it. I mean, it's generations have talked about it. Like the mom just knows in her gut, in her heart. And it's like, we need to deepen or just sink into that. I almost like feel like I'm sinking into my heart. Every time I talk about pausing, I'm like, it's here. It's like behind the heart is mm-hmm. where I start to get some of my purest, most inspired answers. But I went home and my sister, who was babysitting during your class, said, your son, who's always great, was horrible today. So out of character for him. And that linear thinking is like, well, he should be scolded, or he should be put in timeout, or he should, like, the linear brain is going, right? Like, yeah. Well, that's not acceptable. So this, this, and this. And then I remembered your words, like, ask for the unmet need. So I paused and I asked for the unmet need. And the answer that came was completely, I wasn't prepared for it. It was, he's scared. What is he scared
Brilliant.
Of? As I started asking him, it was Halloween and we had gone to something and he had seen some ghouls or something. And that he's like, I feel like they're always with me. Like, I just feel like since we went to, since we saw that, like, I'm just scared. And so mother's intuition, again, just saying a little prayer, what should I do with him? And the answer came, just pray with him and use some essential oils and just spend time loving on him. And the next day, he came home from school and I said, how'd you do today? And he said something that was so fun for me and so validating. He just said, I'm doing so good today, Mom. Thanks for, I can't remember if he said, thanks for listening or thanks for seeing me.
Oh,
and
profound.
You changed my life in that moment.
Wow.
Like, wait a second. Like, linear thinking is a good thing in some ways, but to get deeper in connecting hearts and minds and really unlocking, I say, parental potential requires that ability to drop in that heart space and pause. So,
well, you know, literally, there's lots of A's to B's, right? We're definitely go from here to there. It's just that we're really in a spoke, like in the zero point, where there's spokes of possibilities. And so until you receive instruction or intelligence about which pathway, so they're still linear in a way, but 3D yeah. means that there's a whole spectrum of linear possibilities. You know, you said something so profound. You brought up my question in my class is the statement I always make is the great driver of all behavior is the unmet need. So what a perfect context you put that into in illustrating the story about your son. There was misbehavior, right? That was unacceptable socially or however you put it. And so the parent's first response is, hey, you behaved in a way that is not acceptable. So pick yourself up by your bootstraps. But we might be talking to a three-year-old and they're like, you know what? I got news for you. I'm really not attached to your ways of behavior. What I'm attached to is I'm freaking scared and I'm still functioning weight on here on the first two rungs of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I'm not up here in like altruistic behaviors. I'm still just trying to feel safe on the planet. Thank you very much. And if you come and scold me, I got news for you. That doesn't help, right? So that kind of linear thinking, that's actually making it about us. If you want to raise great people, then you got to meet them where they are. And so if the parenting is always, I'm expecting you to meet you where I am. And how much of parenting, even abusive parenting, is like, I expect you to meet me where I am. And it's really just kind of a power trip. Instead, we're here as a guide and a coach to say, well, let me discover where you are so I can lead you out of that moment forward. And that's kind of how I'm wired. And other people are wired to sit and be in the experience, you know, and so there's multiple aspects in a person's life. I wanted to add, because I'm using the word inspiration, you use the word intuition. And if you don't mind me just jumping ahead here, but I thought, I just want to polish up that little conversation we were having there. So when we're looking for the unmet need, we're in the pause or the gap, the blank canvas we're willing to receive. I'd like to add a few more words there. So I used inspiration, you used intuition. I'd also like to add imagination. And I'd also like to add intelligence. And I find them to be not only arm in arm, but synonymous with each other. So what are we receiving? We're receiving knowledge or intelligence or knowing. We're working with our imaginations because the 3D world means I'm actually open to the possibilities. Escaping from, there's only one pathway, which is I expect you to behave yourself. Well, behavior is actually earned, believe it or not, right? Well-behaved children are earned and they're taught and and you know, some are better than others, but gosh, it's a cold, a diamond experience, right? And so if we're not willing to receive ideas and be inspired and use our intuition about how to work, and by the way, they're not all the same. Like I got five kids, I got five grandkids. They are all wired differently, right? So as a parent, if you try to use the same linear approach with each kid, it's probably not going to be the best outcome, right? So I just wanted to kind of add that, like what is all that? it's really being open to the possibilities and being willing to receive a great idea. It may not be the perfect idea. It may not be the best idea, but an inspired idea, an intuitive idea is definitely better than one that just came from your history and you're just doing what somebody before you did, which may or may not be worth repeating.
And what's amazing is it for me, when I slow down and I truly, truly parent from my, I guess, best self, I'm seeing my child not as like, let's fix this fast. It's like, this is a person who is truly a gift in my life. And how do I become a wise steward in directing them? And, you know, let's go back because the phrase that you use, and I think all of you should write this down, is to remember that stuck with me was, for every reaction, there is an unmet need. And so you kind of mentioned, you know, reactions can show up as a temper tantrum. They can show up as a rash. I mean, let's talk about like what are common reactions that we're seeing in children or people in general?
Well, because belief, right, is the greatest driver of all behavior. No, actually, let me misquote myself. The greatest driver of all behavior is the unmet need. Belief is the most influential factor, right? So because belief is influencing, if somebody believes they're going to be, you know, whatevered, right, then that actually goes into your biology. So through your hypothalamus, through the production of amazing messenger molecules that you self-manufacture called peptides, and they're kind of like emotional molecules, for example, you're putting all this energy or directives into your being and instructing your biology. So if you think, for example, you're going to be threatened and unsafe, what part of your body do you think you're going to be getting a little bit of instruction or support from, right? Your adrenal glands. You're going to be getting some adrenaline because you might need to run or you might need to fight. And fight might look like just toughening up with everything you have while you endure a moment. Like, how am I going to survive this moment? So the biology is always rallying to the cause. So imagine the difference, Callie, that when you arrived with your, and how old was your son on that day, by the way?
At the time, he was about 10 years old.
Okay, so we got a 10-year-old on our hands, and you know, 10-year-olds are pretty cool, right? They're almost preteen, and they're pretty smart and pretty whatever. And so, you know, that's not a 3-year-old moment; that's a 10-year-old moment. So you can come in and imagine the difference for him had he been scolded, timed out, possibly shamed in public, you know, in front of a sibling or a cousin or an aunt, and told that what he did was unacceptable. Or that, you know, so he feels guilty or shamed or regretful or whatever. Different people are going to respond to that moment in different ways. Some would blame, some would cower, some would apologize. You know, we have lots of different approaches that would be handled. But all of that energy coming at him is actually going to form into beliefs about self versus somebody approaching with love and care and concern and consideration and saying, hey, it's happening with you, you know, help me understand where you are. Help me help you be in a better space. You know, I understand today didn't go terribly well. Tell me what's happening inside of you. And basically you're actually teaching a human being how to treat themselves. How many people inside of themselves are scolding themselves, shaming themselves, guilting themselves into new behavior because it's what they heard over and over and over again. And let's give ourselves all grace and compassion that the parenting style of the past may not be the parenting style of today. People did get belts out. They did whip their kids with belts. You know, what we would consider today, you know, borderline or actual abuse. So let's instead of judging our past and throwing it out and calling it bad, let's just trust that we're a human race moving and progressing together. And we got here because we were there. I mean, we could go back a few more years on parenting and check out a couple other parenting styles, right? And it's cycles. Societies go through cycles and learning and loss of knowledge. And so the first thing I want to be is forgiving of the past and not judging of it and judging of people, that we don't know how somebody came to a place. You know, just yesterday I had an occasion to listen to a story about the possibility of someone's past. Like, what if a fifth generation ago, father or grandfather was just a nice guy. He goes to church and what he hears is a presentation. To put it simply, it's kind of a hellfire and damnation. Anybody watch the movie Pollyanna, right? So So just be at church with Pollyanna. And there's this approach. So what he receives in that moment is, wow, I need to go home and I need to make sure my kids don't go to hell. And I need to like take, I love my kids. I care about them. So I'm going to get that belt out and I'm going to help save their souls. Now the kid doesn't understand the programming, doesn't know the decision the parent made, doesn't perceive that as love. And the next thing we know is we have a rejection of that relationship because the way it came across didn't give the impression of what the original intention was. And let's say this has now gone on for generations and the pattern has been repeated as parenting until someone comes along and says, hey, is there possibly a better way than the belt? Like, could we accomplish the same thing? But really, Callie, the most important thing that's being accomplished in this whole process of parenting is you're literally helping your child develop a relationship with themselves. And you're the other voice in their head. So all of their lives, they're going to hear you because it's going to be their voice to themselves in so many cases. And a lot of people rebel from that. That what do you want them to hear all their lives? And so many people do feel shame and guilt and chewed out, and they do that to themselves. It echoes. Like it starts a ripple that never ends so often.
Well, and it's interesting because as you start to work with other people, whether they're clients or the kids or husbands or whatever it is, I find that I start to ask myself when I'm having an unhealthy reaction to something, I'm starting to go inward a lot more saying, well, what is my unmet need?
Yes.
You know, what is it? Is it my soul that's being deprived? Is it my body? Do I need a nap? Versus like, let's get back in shape, let's snap back to it, right? Just being more intuitive. And I think that is a very gentle approach to living that is actually extremely nurturing and extremely empowering. And I kept thinking, this is why you're saying there's a healer in every home. And that means so many different things, a generational healer, you know, someone who's going to show up and say, I'm going to embrace all the goodness that came from my past, and I'm going to clean things up and mend and heal for this next generation. And we get to do that every single day, right? Be a healer in our home. And sometimes we're the cause of pain or someone else's, but if that is our intention, is to bring it to a healing state, the level of progression that we can make through the generations will continue to climb. So let's get back to breaking this down. So as I'm asking the question, you know, what is the unmet need? In your class and just being mentored by you, I've learned that there are stressors and there are balancers. So I'm hoping that maybe we can spend a second defining this, what stressors are, and then defining what balancers are, and then give people some tangible takeaways so that they can actually become the holistic parent in their home today.
I love it. You know, I'm going to try to bring us from where we've been into where we are. And I don't think most people understand when we talk about experience and emotion and beliefs and hypothalamus and peptides and biology, that we don't recognize that an allergy to something or the cause of a rash could have originally been triggered by an emotional trauma, but it's become a biological response, right? So when I think of stressors and balancers, I really just break things down to two simple things. And there was a great quote from a great scientist in a great book that basically said, you know, like he's talking about it on a cellular level, but I'm going to put it on a holistic level. And there's really only two things. And anybody who knows me right now, they're going to be saying it with me. There's only two things that ever go wrong. And that is that there's too much of the wrong thing and too little of the right thing. That's it. It's just that simple. So if you want to like kind of bring yourself into thinking and you've got a situation in front of you and you're like, okay, what's going on here? So the stressor part would have to do with, where do I have too much of the wrong thing? Did the kid just eat too much sugar? Did they watch too much TV and too much violence or see scary, you know, Halloween decorations? Or they hung around somebody with a certain type of behavior for too long. They've had certain types of influence. They were out in the sun too long. They've eaten the same bag of chips for a week now, and suddenly we have a new response in the body. I mean, like, I could go on and on and on. I could make up 100 things that's too much of the wrong thing. And ironically, even too much of water is wrong, right? So it doesn't always have to be too much of the wrong bad thing. It's just too much of something. You can literally drown a person with just giving them too much water. So we're just looking at where has there been excess and it's not serving the person. And that's causing stress. So that's a stressor. The other would be, where's there too little of something? Do we have too little nutrition? Do we have too little sleep, like you mentioned? Do we have too little water? Have we not been outside enough? Have they not got their wiggles out? Is there not enough running around going out? Is there too much constriction, you know, with homeschooling or too much mask wearing and not seeing enough smiles on faces? I mean, I could go on and on and on again and make up where we have deficits. Is there too little light in life? Is there a lack of spirituality in the home? Is there a lack of love? I mean, there's so many things that we need that are nutrients. And is there too little water? Is the person dehydrated? Which can totally affect how the brain works. And so the first thing I like to do is identify what might be a source of stress. And is it too much of the wrong thing or too little of the right thing? Or so often it can be both, right? So that's the stressor category. The balancer category, as you mentioned, is how do I meet the unmet need? So if it's too much of the wrong thing, well, then we need to release something. We need to cleanse something. We need to let it go. There's, you know, all kinds of words that we could use. If we got too much of the wrong thing, what are you going to do about it? Well, I'm going to drink less water. I'm going to be around less toxins. You know, we're going to be more careful about toxic exposure. We're going to maybe take some things out of the kitchen cupboards that aren't serving. Whatever the case is, there's going to be an elimination of what is causing stress. And that would be a form of creating balance. Whereas if it's too little, well, then we need to fill it up. So one of the things you said earlier that I really loved, it really struck a chord with me, is this idea where so often as parents, we don't have something to give away. Like, how can you give a child what you don't have? So if you're not feeling peaceful, it's hard to give away a peaceful feeling. If you're not feeling trusting, if you're not well slept, if you're not well fed, it's like, it's the oxygen mask, right? It's very hard to nurture and give and love and support when you don't have it to give. And so as parents, again, it's like the golden rule, love your neighbor as yourself. And so we've got to be in that place where balancing is looking for what's either too much or too little. And so on that too little side, you know, we're looking for filling up the cup. As a parent, you're going to have so much more to pour out of you if you're being filled up in some way. And I know, like, parenting is tricky. I get it. Getting sleep is tricky. Getting the laundry all done, you know, feeding people healthy. We could go on. It's tricky, but do a few things right. Do a few things right and make sure people have full cups, you know?
Well, it's almost the thought of buoying yourself up for the most important job.
Yes.
Now, if you really believe that parenting, because it is, all destruction, I mean, everything goes back to what's happening in homes. If you will buoy yourself up for your most important work, I think we would treat ourselves differently. I think we would get more generous amounts of sleep when we can eat better. And, you know, to me, it also means be more selective in the movies that I watch and the things that come in to my mind and into my heart and into my body. And really just asking myself, and I got this from a really fun friend, her name's Uake. She said, just asking when I'm eating something or putting something into my mind or getting ready to say something that I shouldn't, is this the most loving thing that I can do for myself right now? And just asking that question, you know, is this the most loving thing that I can do? Yelling at my child, is it the most loving thing that I can do for myself? Let alone the kid. But as we really contemplate that and think about it, we start to make different choices, more inspired choices, you know, and our world changes.
Totally. And if we were to like kind of bookend our experience together and you asked me, you know, what's holistic to you? Holistic to me is that everything is a sum total. So we can see holistic in two ways. One, we see holistic and there is a plethora of possibilities. There isn't just one way. There's many ways to create great results. And the goal is to seek to tap into possibilities and to find a way that can be successful and even experiment with those ways. The other part of holistic is this wholeness of who we are. And we're a sum total of all of our experiences. So when you're looking at a person in front of you, which could be you, and you're like, hey, what's not working here? Where do we have too much of the wrong thing or too little of the right thing? You're the sum total of everything you do, everything you're exposed to, every TV show you watch, every magazine, newspaper, conversation, food, everything is a conglomeration of intelligence that is affecting and imprinting on who you are. And so oftentimes we need to be aware, again, of what's created. It's like a numbers game, right? You're a numbers game, and you're getting exposed to numbers all over the place in all kinds of ways. And so sometimes we need to change the numbers. It's like when I'm looking for a solution, Callie, and someone's like, well, I tried that essential oil once and I took one drop. And it's like, that's awesome. But are you open to the possibility that the math is off and one drop in is not enough to deal with the 100 other things? And you might need to bring in more of that messaging on a repeated basis until we change the actual equation on the other side, right?
Yes.
Insanity. So when people tell me, I've tried everything, I'm like, I bet you haven't. I bet you haven't. I bet. And the bottom line is, if we're not getting the results we want, well, then let's look at the math, right? You're either doing too little of the right thing or too much of the wrong thing, right?
You know, so much of what you're saying, it reminds me of things that have maybe definitions that need a little bit of purifying, right? And I love that we're playing on words a little bit. And I often think of, you know, some people are going, oh my gosh, I have kind of messed up life. Like, I hope, right, like, that this doesn't have to be me because I have regrets. I think all of us have regrets. And I think when we talk about what pure healing is, a lot of times in different, you know, places we say repentance or forgiveness or whatever it is. And I think if we could summarize all of it, it is healing. It is healing, right? In the truest form. And so
it is healing, restoring something to whole, right?
Yeah. Restoring to something better.
You know what, Callie, not everybody's born whole. A lot of people are born with holes. We are only the biological total of what we were given to work with, right? So if your mom was already super deficient in a whole lot of ways, she can't make you whole. It's not possible. It's not scientifically possible for her to build a whole body if she doesn't have it in her body in the first place to give. And so I don't want us to always think I'm returning to wholeness, because sometimes people don't start that way, but we're always creating wholeness. And so healing is anytime we've stepped away from wholeness, we're bringing it back. We've stepped away from wholeness, we're bringing it back. And that can be a generational process that right. holes were created in, you know, if a grandmother smokes, so my husband's grandmother smoked and drank alcohol while she was pregnant. And this is way back in the 40s. You know, she didn't know any better. She wasn't taught to do differently. And that created holes in her children. For example, they're all extremely short. They were born at like 4 pounds body weight. And when a grandmother smokes, even not that bad story, but just grandma smokes and child is raised in that. And then child has a baby and child doesn't even have to be a smoker. Do you know what message the lungs are receiving during that time? The lungs are receiving a message that air is toxic. And so the genes are like, hey, we got informed that air is toxic, so we're going to do something about it. So now we got a grandchild who has asthma because their genes believe that air is toxic. And so now, well, then we'd have to say, well, hey, not all air is toxic. Like, yes, cigarette smoke definitely isn't clean air, but not all air is that bad, right? But the genes are like, hey, we've been informed that air is toxic, so we're actually afraid of all air. So that's not wholeness, right? Now, there are times we've been designed to cough and sneeze and we have all kinds of reactions to toxic air that are important and appropriate. But when those bells are going off all the time because there's a greater, grander belief that all air is toxic, that's not wholeness. So how can we return and help those genes understand, I got good news for you, not all air is toxic, right? And teach them a new lesson that might take a while. That might take a little bit of math to bring in a new belief, new information, right? That the cells will change what they believe to be true and respond differently to what's influencing them.
And that is really what's quite remarkable, right? Is that everything is affected
from
thoughts and our biology, like everything is affected. And so just taking a deeper look. So let's get into really quickly, maybe expanding the toolkit. So mom's like, I'm all in, I wanna try something new. Can you give us really quick, and I know we're running out of time, some really great tools of observation that we can just start to play with?
Well, we've mentioned intuition, and it would have to be the king or queen in this case answer, right? Is that you've got to learn to listen to your gut. As a mom, you know, I can reflect back on so many moments where you know, mom knows. And sometimes it was even a warning for me. Like, if you continue to speak to your child in that way, I've felt warned at times. Like, if you continue to have an interaction with your child in that manner, there's going to be a consequence, and you're going to actually instigate a change in them. So you might want to back up the truck and try a different approach. And so, gosh, the willingness to be humble enough to hear that and say to whatever voice that is, you know what? You're right. It's true. I confess. I'm off. I'm out of line. I'm exerting power or influence in a way that's not healthy because I have an agenda and I'm trying to get that kid to react to me in a certain way, to play it my way, but it might break them. And that's not good parenting. And so to be humble enough to listen, because I think we can get, the idea comes, I think they need to drink more water. I bet they're hungry. I bet their blood sugar's low, you know, and be informed enough to understand what little nuances are happening. So have some common sense, read some parenting books, because having a library of information to draw from is actually really, really good for the imagination, the intuition, and the inspiration, because ideas come through ideas. And so take the time to learn and be aware and ask questions. There is nothing better than a willingness to ask questions. Have you ever tried asking a three-year-old, so tell me what's up with you, right? You know, like, I mean, you get the darndest answers out of a kid sometimes. Even letting a child color out their feelings, for example, and then explain to you what it is they're feeling, or to tell you the story of their picture. I remember a moment with my daughter, who's now 23, standing in our kitchen. I can still picture where we were. And she had a little drawing, and she was telling me all about a spider family that she had drawn about. And what I knew was before me was, again, another answer to the question is, have the ears to hear beyond the obvious. She drew a picture. It's about a spider family. She's telling me about it. All right. But what is she really telling me about? So the capacity to listen, the capacity to draw on knowledge and observations, and to be willing to ask not only a child, but also to ask other people for ideas and possibilities, and to draw on, you know, there's nothing sweeter than being a part of a village, a healthy village of informed moms, right? Where you can get together and share ideas. And, you know, there's also specific tools, like I'm really big on using muscle response testing and have used that as a considerable tool. There's more devices and things, but those aren't generally home held. There's a few. There's some home held devices, some little scanning devices in my essential oil community of friends and families. A lot of us own a little small handheld scanner that would help identify what essential oil would serve in this moment. And then I'm pulling out a book on emotions. I'm pulling out a book on physicality. I'm reading both, like, okay, this child. And sometimes it's just what I hear, Callie, like, all right, something's not right here. What do I hear? I'm really drawn to geranium oil in this moment. Okay. So I'm going to go get my book. I'm going to read the emotional description. I'm going to read the physical description. I'm going to see, does anything stand out to me? So I'm really big on allowing information and other witnesses. I really believe in the law of witnesses. Is let a couple things witness the same idea to me. So if I hear geranium, remember I asked, I believed, I'll get an answer. I heard something. I'm not going to blow it off. I'm going to go explore it. It's part of the pause. I'm going to go look it up and be like, oh, wow, this oil was completely made for this person, right? And then that's where the learning comes in. And you're like, okay, I know a little bit more about that oil now. So next time I'm in need of something like that, I bet that one's going to come to mind. And I love learning on the street. I love learning in action. I love learning in the moment. It's not like load yourself with epic amounts of book knowledge. It's like learn as you go. It's so refreshing and fun.
I think you've shared so many great things for us to consider and think about. I love that you're ending kind of with a challenge, and it's a simple challenge. It's really about choose to pause, choose to listen, choose to turn on those intuitive, inspiring, imaginative, whatever you want to call it, ears, and give yourself permission to learn as you go. And like you said, as you just grab a book, get a mentor, go through a course, your ability to parent well is going to expand because your knowledge is expanding. And honestly, that's what you did for me, Laura. You opened that that toolkit that I didn't even know existed. And because of that, I've been able to share that with so many friends, so many people. So thank you for your time. How can we learn more from you?
You know, as you mentioned, my global movement that I declared, gosh, 15, 17 years ago, I can't remember now, is that my just cause, as Simon Sinek would put it, is to strive that there may be a healer in every home. And what that means is that somebody in the household has learned to find and provide solutions, that somebody has some skill, somebody knows how to use a book and their alphabet and have a few tools in the home and can pursue that. So I have a web address, healerineveryhome.com, and you can track our ever-growing and swelling movement from there. We have classes, we have different ways to communicate and to stay connected to help inspire that movement in your home.
Thank you, Laura, so much for your time. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Callie, so much.
If you liked what you heard today, don't forget to share this episode on social media, tag your friends. If you're on Instagram, tag me, because that is one way you can enter my free giveaways every month. I love to spoil people with essential oils, and you could be the next recipient of my gifts. So don't forget to tag me there, and let's stay in touch. Thanks for joining today.